Hey, y'all, you know I'm on tour, so see if I'm coming to your city. You can click here at laylo.com/Sarah Silverman, laylo.com/Sarah Silverman for tickets. Hope to see you there, wherever there is. Simply safe, simply safe. Today's episode of the Sarah Silverman Podcast is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Would you do everything it took to protect your family? Of course you would. That's why I recommend Simply Safe Home Security. They make it easy to protect every inch of your home with advanced security tech powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe has kept all my friends safe, and I love Simply Safe. I'm grateful to Simply Safe for doing what they do and being so accessible. Simply Safe has advanced sensors for every room, door, and window, allowing them to have smarter ways to detect motion that can tell the difference between a person and a pet, which is important. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Silverman. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/Silverman. There is no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, I wanna
Hey!
Hi!
Hey, ya fucker!
Hi, everybody. It's your best friend, Sarah Silverman. Welcome to the show. My parents are in Florida. And we have family Zoom every Sunday. And we always check in on like what everyone's watching and like, oh, my God, you've got to see this. You got to watch this, blah, blah, blah. My parents, my dad was like, we're watching a new show. It's pretty crazy, but we like it. It starts with an E. E something, and we're like, E something, you know, what is it? And he looks on his phone because he writes everything down that they watch. Euphoria. My 85-year-old dad and his younger but similarly age-ranged wife, my stepmom, are watching Euphoria, a show I feel too old to watch, but everyone says it's absolutely brilliant. I'm such a fan of Zendaya, and of course that and Maude Apatow's in that. But I saw one episode actually once. It was in the tub, and it just came on, and it was excellent. But it's very dark, drug fueled, sex fueled, and I love that they're watching it. But I was just very tickled. I thought you might be too. All right, let's take some calls.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hey, Sarah. I love your podcast. I'm reaching out to you because I think you give good advice. And I'm 47 years old, and I work with somebody who's 20 years younger than myself. And,
me too.
It's been a struggle because I feel like I'm back in high school and I'm being microaggressed by the captain of the cheerleading squad. And just kind of appalling things that she's saying about students, because we're teachers, and about colleagues. I mean, she yelled at me to say that I was old. Like, you know, you're old, right? Anyway, the microaggressions, the shame, you know, just feels like shaming me and pushing me down. And just, it's just, it was just over the top. You know, couldn't take it. So one day, one of my colleagues wasn't going to be there. So she came to me and said that she was going to be gone. I'm like, okay, just tell this person that I can manage it and I don't need her in my space. You know, I can take care of it. And sure enough, because I just needed distance because it was just wearing on me so much. But she shows up anyway, doesn't leave, makes it a scene. Yeah, maybe I should have let it go, but I told her to leave me alone.
Oh, she got cut off. Not totally sure I follow. A young colleague is being cunty and bumming you out. Maybe this, you're going to have to deal with it. If not with her, with yourself, because this stuff can really lead to like a real ping pong of microaggressions, you know? She's hurting your feelings. If you don't deal with it right, you're probably trying to hurt her feelings as well. I don't know. I don't know enough about this. This could be too far gone. I would say treat her with the respect that you would expect from her, that you would want from her. And the very next time that she says something that's hurtful to you, look her in the eye and tell her that when she makes these comments, it cuts you. It hurts your feelings. I mean, she's a teacher, right? What would she suggest? I don't know. What she does with that will determine your relationship going forward. She may take it in and really change, and or she may scoff, and then you know that this is someone that you do not want to work with. And I don't know if you can see if you can, like, not ever be paired with her again in the future, or just keep your distance from her, or make a concerted effort. Talk to HR, maybe. I don't know. But focus on the friends you have and the people at work and at home that reciprocate care with you and joy. And I know it's easy to say, but, you know, take this opportunity as an experiment to convert that energy into something positive. Or maybe ask her advice. Like, say you have a student who is, like, a really good kid, but is making little digs at another student, and you're noticing that it's hurting this other student's feelings and you're not sure how to handle it. And then when she tells you how to handle it that way with her, you know, just like it, or explain to her that the student is you and the other kid is her, and say it with humor and love and vulnerability and see if she's able to hear you. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't really know all the details of this. But if that doesn't work out, you just got to write her off. You know, she's a kid. She's 20 years younger than you. She has so much to learn. And root for her to change into a nicer person, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe think of it as, like, trying to be an example for your students, even though they won't know. But just, you want to handle this and handle yourself in a way that you would want your students to handle it ideally, or how you would guide them into handling just that kind of dynamic. I don't know. Maybe that will help you to be your best self as you go through this. Good luck. Call in. Let us know. What else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Jeffrey. Thank you for all that you do. I so appreciate you. This is my situation. I have a friend of 25, 30 years, an overall beautiful person. I have a strong Jewish lineage all through my mother's side, many generations back. Some escaped from Russia, some from Germany. And recently, my friend started saying some negative things about Jews in front of me. And so I confronted her and said it made me feel really uncomfortable, and she justified it by saying she works in an industry where Jews rule a lot of things, and she's been on sets that she was held back because she was not Jewish, and she said that she only says these negative things to me and a couple other friends, and that she will stop saying it around me. And so that was really troubling to me because, great, you're not going to say it around me, but why are you holding these beliefs? Why are you calling out an entire race for behavior of a few? And if that was done to her, which is done all the time, I'm sure she would and has expressed to me how that's very hurtful to her. So I would love any ideas of how to handle this. And thank you so much. Sending big hugs.
Oh, what a bummer. Yeah, this is happening all over, a little more than usual, maybe a lot more than usual. The I didn't get the job because I'm not Jewish thing is, besides absurd, scary, because this is how people are starting to think. It's called scapegoating. I'm sure you're aware. Thank you for saying something to her, because I know it's not easy. But boy, this is getting scary, you know, as Jews, we're taught from as soon as we come out of the womb to like never forget and this could happen again and recognize the signs. Well, fucking sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Oh my God. Sorry, Raj. That was not sorry, Raj, but I just knew he was like, oh, that's that song from like when we were little or the 60s or something. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. This is the song. Huh?
From the 90s.
That's not from the 90s. That's a cover from the 90s. It's from the like the 60s. Yeah,
the band Tesla covered some band from the 60s doing science.
I can't hear them, what they say.
There's a band called Tesla from the 90s? They did a cover in the 90s of that. It's like a Vietnam song or something.
No, I never knew that.
But not a Vietnam song. It's about, hey, get these long-haired hippies aren't allowed to... If you have long hair, you need not apply. And then, like, when glam rock happened, they redid it.
I'm an idiot. I didn't know.
You're not an idiot. You're just dumb.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Zvi, you're feeling it, right? As a Jew? It's just fucking, like, what is going on? I don't know how to stop it either. Other than just speaking out when you see it. But there's something about Jews speaking out for themselves that is less cool than other minorities. Or do you feel that way, Amy?
I do. I feel sort of terrified sometimes. And I see a lot of it. I've seen a lot of it with directed at you over the years, just generally. And then now...
That's never scared me. It's just how it's into the popular culture and even like a little bit in progressive culture.
But I just, now that it's so, I think the scary thing is that people believe what celebrities say, what people have big platforms say. And then once that's in the ether, it's very hard to convince people otherwise. So now there's a whole generation of people who think Jews are, I mean, another whole generation of Jews. I mean, people that think Jews are the devil.
Yeah. And they don't teach Holocaust in school anymore. I mean.
Well, it didn't happen. So why?
Oh my God. Amy. That's a secret.
So is my horns and my tail.
Well, so are your horns. Oh no, don't correct grammar anymore because that can actually be, well, it's still so are my horns. Fucking Jew.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to stop it. Speak out as much as you can. Definitely say things to your friends when they're saying it to your face. Then she just says, oh, I won't say it to your face anymore. This is just a, you know, then you become the good one. You're just one of the good ones. I don't know. You know, is that what she says when you're like, hey, I'm Jewish? You know, oh, yeah, but you're different. I don't know. I'm sorry to hear it. I'd say stop being friends with her if it cuts you too deep, but you want to stay friends with her. You love her. She loves you. Great. Let her see how you love and care for your friends and for others and let her be changed by you just being you. But yeah, scary times.
Here's some ads.
So we got this dog food, Sundays for Dogs, and it's all it is just the healthiest shit you could put in your dog. It's food for your dogs. It's just like the highest quality food for your dogs. If you look in the ingredients, it's just all good shit. But it also is a high value treat. If you're a dog owner, you know, it's like when you need them to behave and you're bribing them with treats, it has to be a real high value. This is a food that is a high value treat. So, you know, we actually use it for treats because we use treats a lot with the dogs and we're rocking them and stuff. But I've also given it to them for their food. It's just really high quality shit. Sundays is it's air dried dog food made from a short list of human grade ingredients. It's 90% meat, it's 10% vegetables, and it's 0% synthetic nutrients. So it's It's really, really good for your dogs and probably be good for you. Sundaes cost 40% less than other healthy dog food brands because Sundaes doesn't waste money shipping frozen packages. Instead, they spend on what matters, sourcing the best all-natural ingredients for your pup. We worked out a special deal for our dog-loving listeners. Get 35% off your first order of Sundaes. Go to sundaesfordogs.com/Sarah or use code Sarah at checkout. That's sundaesfordogs.com/Sarah. Upgrade your pup to Sundaes and feel good about the food you feed your dog. Olive in June. I'm not a nails guy, but oh my God. I love Olive in June. They have this like special sauce you put on your cuticles. It just makes them like, all right, cut me off. And then you just go and your cuticles are clean. It's so good. Anyway, here's what's so great about Olive in June and their Manny system. That's short for manicure. It has everything you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. You can customize it with your choice of 6 different polishes that don't chip and last 7 days or more. And the best part is that it breaks down to just $2 a manicure. That's good. You're not going to miss going into the salons and having that smell. That smell. Visit oliveandjune.com/Silverman for 20% off your first Manny system. That's oliveandjune.com/silverman for 20% off your first Manny system.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, best friend, Sarah. thank you for this podcast. First of all, I listen to it in the car. I listen to it when I'm like sad, and I don't feel sad when I'm done listening to it. My question is, I am 19. I love to write and sing, and acting is my favorite thing to do in the whole world. And I'm planning to go to school for it so I can train in it.
Amazing.
Well, I'm 19 and I feel like it's too late for me in a strange way. I feel like,
oh, sweetie,
I don't know, I miss my chance. Like I haven't even tried yet and I feel like I failed. And I really admire you. I've really looked up to you and I was just wondering if you had any advice for me. I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if you had any advice for me. Yeah, just going through a hard time, and I really look up to you, Sarah. Hope you're doing well.
It is not too late for you. You know, and I'm not laughing. Rejoice in the fact that I'm laughing. You are a baby. And you know what? My heart goes out to people your age because these past 3 years are major years in development, 16, 17, 18, 19. And you were probably in a house with your parents and not having the experiences that are about, that develop who you are. Irrelevant. You're just having different ones. Everyone your age has gone through the same thing. And that's the good news. But it's a very unique experience. And someone my age can't necessarily understand what that experience is like. But I will tell you, you are absolutely not too old. I mean, listen, thank God you weren't a child actor. It's very difficult to persevere past child actoriness. You're right on target. You know, Harrison Ford was like 35. He was a carpenter until he was 35. My good friend John Hamm didn't hit it big until he was in his mid-30s. I heard Jessica Chastain was in her 30s. Alan Rickman didn't get Die Hard until he was 42. Believe me, I look these things up all the time. Ken Jeong, who is a comedian, did comedy for 20 years, was also a doctor before he got the hangover. He was 40. you know, it's everyone, there is no one way to get into show business. There just isn't. I mean, that said, it's later than you think is something I usually say to people, not to you. I think it's earlier than you think, but you are doing fine. Work on your craft. Get great. You write, you sing, you act, write stuff. Enact in it. And post it online. There's like whole new mediums to be seen. Hook up with, you know, if you go study, you're going to be studying with young editors, young directors, young camera ops, young lighting technicians, you know. Hook up with them and start making shorts, start making sketches, start making little pieces of art, you know. Like Steven Spielberg, he was like making movies with his little camera when he was a teenager. This is your passion. There are ways to actually do it. Work at it. Get those 10,000 hours in. Write. Write and write and write. You're in a great position. You're 19. It's awesome. Get yourself to open auditions and make sure you love every minute of all of it. You know, I will say this. You have to be able to do the work without any people pushing you to do it, because nobody is going to knock on your door and say, will you be a writer? You know, will you be an actor? But if it's what you must do, then you will do it. And I think you're going to do it. Good luck. What else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Marissa, and I live in upstate New York. I'm calling to ask you a question. I love the show and I love you, but I want to get right into it. So my sister has a pretty problematic set of in-laws. They are really reliable in some ways, really unreliable in a lot of ways. And most recently, she dropped off her and her husband's dog for a weekend because it was my sister's birthday weekend. They had some big plans and they didn't even get to start their weekend because on Friday they heard back from her in-laws saying that the dog was missing. So I don't know the details of what happened, but essentially she was there. They went out to do something and then she was not home. So it's been almost a week of trying to find this dog. And we just found out that she washed up on the Jersey Shore and is dead. And so my sister's trying to have kids and like they're the closest ones to them, geographically. And there's been always these plans about like, you know, them taking care of the kids over weekends and stuff like that. And I'm just finding it very hard to forgive these people. I know that mistakes happen, obviously, but this seemed like it was really avoidable. Things like this have happened before, and I just don't think my sister should trust them. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on what you think. So thank you. Love you. Bye.
How the fuck does that happen? Oh my God. God, this is so fucking upsetting. Like, shit, my heart. I have so many questions because, of course, my instinct is rage, you know, at these people. How do you lose a dog and it wind up washing up on the Jersey Shore? What the fuck happened? I have too many questions to be able to give you, like, an appropriate opinion. Were the in-laws horrified? Was there massive remorse? I mean, unless that's the case, I would actually be very frightened. If they have children, and those are the people that they're going to like leave in their care. Look, accidents happen. Even horrible, mortal accidents happen. And, you know, sometimes you need a place to put blame. And sometimes there isn't a place to put blame because it's an accident. But, and I'm assuming this was an accident, but fuck, you know, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like a really weird murder. Why would they do that? But just a kind of accident that is just so preventable when an animal is in your care for a fucking weekend. But if they can't care for a dog, If this was the product of just not doing the very basic things you do to care for a dog, then I would not feel comfortable leaving my children with them. Not that I have children, but I'm imagining. It's tough because they're her in-laws. I mean, having close by in-laws when you have children is amazing because they're free and usually willing and very happy childcare. I don't know. I'm curious how her husband feels, what his relationship is with them. I mean, that is fucking, I don't know. I mean, this may be, maybe I'm overreacting, but like if their jobs are jobs that they could live anywhere, maybe move to be near your parents instead, you know? Fuck. I know that sounds extreme, but this story sounds pretty extreme. Maybe I'm triggered because actually my father's father was incredibly abusive and had uncontrollable rage. And my parents, before I was born, left their 3-month-old son with them and he died in their care. And this, you know, there was a story of an accident, but I will tell you, my father was never really sure. Horrible story. Anyway, fuck. Good luck. Yeah, that's really, really dark. Thanks for listening. What else? Jesus.
Hey, Sarah, it's Maria from down here in Long Beach. I'm just sitting here thinking about this move I'm doing to Mexico City in January. And it's because I first of all, love the city. I speak Spanish. I'd like to teach English there. Lots of reasons. It's just a great place.
Yeah, I heard Mexico.
But my issue is that lately I've been seeing, a lot of videos and people speaking out about the gentrification that's happening down there and a lot of people moving in and buying property and, driving up the prices for the locals. And it makes me really sad because I love Mexico so much and I want to, I want to be there, but I don't want to ruin other people's lives. And I did live in New York for several years. I saw Williamsburg change a lot in my time there. And I did see a lot of Hispanics being driven out because of skyrocketing apartment costs. And I don't know, just wanted to get your 2 cents on that whole thing. I'm basically doing it because we're the sector I want to be in for work, which is environmentalism, doesn't pay that much. And I just want to live somewhere where I can afford rent and also just like live my life. So I don't know, just seeing what you think about that. Thank you so much. Love you forever. Bye.
Well, really interesting and very mindful quandary. I'm not really sure of the answer. It makes sense that you would want to go there. You love it. You speak the language. And it's affordable to have a lifestyle that you want there. All those things make sense. That's how people make decisions, these life decisions of where they'll live and where they'll go. Sure. And you're aware of what it means to be a large group, be a part of a large group of Americans who are moving there and finding life wonderful and affordable and what that means for people who live there. I heard there are people in Mexico making signs that say, like, go back to L.A., which, is understandable and hilarious. Not to make light of it, but, obviously there's some pretty sweet irony there. But I guess if I were to suggest anything, it would be that if you move there and you build a life there, you build a life that includes and supports the community that you're in as much as possible. Don't just be the problem with a shrug, which I know you don't want to do. Get involved. All right, what else? Good luck. I always heard it's awesome there.
Hey, Sarah. My name's Kurt. I love you. Love your podcast. My question is, I had a friend who wants to be a comedian, and he's not very funny, and I don't know how to... I'm not a comedian, so maybe he is funny, but I don't find it funny. And I didn't know how to give advice, and I thought maybe you have given other comedians advice, or how to let them down sort of easy. And so what would you say to a comedian who maybe wasn't really cut out for that? What advice would you give them? On an unrelated note, I have a friend who could use some work as a comedian. I think you might know him. His name is David Waterman. He's very funny. He does like funny voices and things. So, and he's there in LA. So I'm sure you may know him. Anyways, thanks for taking my message. Take care.
All right. Your friend who you say is an unfunny comedian, let me ask you this. Did he ask you for advice? I mean, I don't know what your impulse is to find a way to tell him not to pursue his dream. If he's asking for your opinion, then tell him the truth, which is that his comedy is not your cup of tea. You know, there are some great comedians that started out not funny. Everybody starts. There is no comedian, no matter how famous, that didn't start with nothing, just go up for the first time and the second time and the third time, et cetera. There are some great comedy writers who started out as not strong comedians and just never was as good at stand-up, but they found their niche through stand-up in comedy writing. And they didn't figure out that performing wasn't for them because you told them that. I mean, look, he may objectively be terrible. I don't know, but I don't know. Why are you so sure you should tell him that? If it's his joy, you don't have to go and watch his shows. You can be busy. You don't have to endure that. He's not your cup of tea. And you can say that like, yeah, you're not really my thing comedically, but I love you. You can still be supportive of him. If he's supporting himself with a day job and this is what he wants to do with his nights, fucking support him. Maybe just root for him and hope he finds his way. Maybe. I don't know. And yes, I know David Waterman. He's fucking hilarious. And he's done really wonderful things with his life. And he's just the best. Yeah. Please tell him I say hello. All right. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Marissa from upstate New York. I'm calling. First of all, I love the show. I love you. I really can't think of a person that I appreciate so much and I wish was my older sister. I do have a wonderful older sister, but she's a little bit of a Republican, but we love her anyway. I was calling because yesterday I was listening to this podcast, and not your podcast, a different podcast. And they were saying talking about somebody with the last name, same last name as Rory, but they pronounce it Albanese. And I was just curious, what Rory thinks of that. Because my last name is one of those where people, have a bunch of different pronunciations, I guess, too. I was just wondering, maybe get Rory on the line and see his side of the Albanese on this one, or the Albanese. All right, love you. Bye.
It is, the Italian pronunciation is Albanese. But, America. So he says, they say Albanese. But yeah, Albanese, which is Italian for Albanian, which tickles me. I guess his ancestors on his dad's side must have come to Italy from Albania. But Albanese, yeah. All right. Fun facts. What else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Emma. I'm an Irish teacher living in Dubai. My cousin recently turned me on to your podcast. Shout out to Dr. Sharon M. Butler, recent PhD. So recent, in fact, that I've binged about 75 episodes in around 2 weeks. I'm not sorry for it because they're brilliant. So thanks for that. Anyway, I sent her a message yesterday. That was a gripe that I've had for a really long time. And she said to me, hey, that'd be great for Sarah's open. Send that in. So that's what I'm doing. Basically, I can't fucking bear when there's a car in front of me and it says, like yesterday's one, twins on board, baby on board, child on board. Like, fuck off. I just think, her interpretation is different to mine, but I think, why should anyone be more careful because there's a kid in that car? Shouldn't we all be equally as careful because there are humans in the cars, in every single car? Why are you telling me to be careful just because you have a child? and it's just me in my car. So I don't have like a sticker that says adult on board or human on board. So why do they have baby on board? Shouldn't we all be equally as careful? I find it really manipulative. Yeah, my cousin had a different take on this, so I'd be interested to hear yours. Thank you for the amazing podcast and for keeping my ears busy. I don't want to my eye holes.
Sure, I get it. I mean, personally, it doesn't bother me, but I, you know, especially when you're a childless adult, it, you always feel like less important. You know, there, it's a little bit obnoxious, but that's only because we are less important. No, I suspect you may be putting some of your own personal feelings and hangups onto this, like what I talked about. Like, you know, we feel a little bit like less important than people with kids. But to me, that shit, I don't know. I just think it's honestly, earnestly, I think it's a way that people can remind people to drive carefully. And people are just more careful around kids. You know, there's a sign in my friend's neighborhood that says, you know, it's like a little neighborhood and it says, drive like your children live here. And, you know, it works because I always slow down. You know, it's just kind of a way to get people to drive with care because we aren't always kind to each other, but we do hopefully always feel care for children and babies. That's all. I think it's just a way to try and bring out the best in people when they're behind the wheel. I mean, it didn't work with you, but even if it's unconsciously, it's kind of the reason people put that up. Or it's like, I'm fertile, which is maybe how you took it. All right, what else?
Hey, Sarah, it's Byron Jones from Columbus, Ohio again. And
he's called in before.
Weird question. Were you like a special guest on the Comedians of Comedy? Like, I remember you there. Like on a special on HBO or Comedy Central or something.
Sure.
I'm not confusing you with Maria Bamford, am I? No. I remember you were like, you replaced her or something. Can you clear this up for me? Because I'm having a foggy memory. Like, damn, like, were you there or not? It's weird.
Is this guy on a child's carousel right now?
Please answer this. I'm confused and scared. Thank you.
I don't know what the question is. What was the question?
I think he just wants to know if you were in the Comedians of Comedy, one of the episodes or perhaps the special they aired. I think that's what he's asking.
I don't think I was. I remember watching it. It was, who was on it? Patton? Zach Galifianakis. I actually remember the shot of Zach's appearance coming like down an alley. And who else? Hossein, maybe?
He was, and I think Maria Bamford definitely was too.
Oh, he's thinking of Maria.
Mentions. But you might have been in the special. I know I saw it, but I don't remember. Anyway,
I vaguely. Oh, I think the special had a show that was at the Troubadour. If that was that, then yeah, I did a bit with Steve Agee. But Maria was one of the Comedians of Comedy in the like show and special. So you're thinking of Maria. But I think there's one bit that I think was in their special where we did a show at the Troubadour and we all did different sketches and bits. And Steve Agee and I did a bit that we always used to laugh at, which is something about, and I tried to resurrect this at one point, because, but it's, do you remember this caller I think is my age, but, and Raj, you would remember, did you grow up with the poem Milk, Milk, Lemonade, Round the Corner Fudge is Made?
I'm familiar, yeah.
So Steve and I both remember that. And then we did this like, almost like performance art piece, I don't know, where we were talking about milk, milk, lemonade, round the corner fudge is made. And then we just fucking go bananas and we're like, wake up, you fucking sheep. Fudge is shit. they're talking about shit. I don't know. I can't really remember it, but it was something like that. Dad, it's that time of the show where I say we are winding down. Don't want to be too abrupt for you, Dad. This is when I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on YouTube if you like watching with your beautiful peepers. Bye.
Hey, I wanna.
Hey.
Bye.
Hey, ya fucker.